Thank you so much for listening to the Christway City Church Podcast with Pastor Gary Dobson. We pray that you're encouraged today, and please check us out online at christwaycity.com.
My father-in-law said the other day, yesterday driving down the road, he said, I don't forget how many churches we passed on one road. This place is eat up with churches. But I want you to know there's not enough churches in this area. Like I said, just the people in the city of Montgomery. Do you know that Montgomery, the city of Montgomery, is 4,000 people short of overtaking the city of Birmingham in size? The city of Birmingham is actually shrinking, and Montgomery is growing. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the state of Alabama, which means, let me tell you know, if you have a crisis in this city, you need more hospitals all of a sudden. Well, we have a spiritual crisis, and we need more of the work of the kingdom of God than ever before. And this church is to be launched. The reason it's called Christway is simply because of what it stated there. We're living in a time by which today, in a social and a political correctness to where that we do not want to offend anyone to tell them the truth. Okay? And we need to know and understand that there is only one truth, and that is the way of Christ. And what my purpose is as a pastor and calling that God has and what I feel the leading of God is to help us to understand that there are questions in our life, but at the same time there's answers, and the answer comes not in our own way of thinking, but in His way of doing, by following the Christ way. And a moment ago, I noticed one gentleman said that there's root, the roots. Yes, there's root, the R-O-U-T-E, roots. There's routes to go. There's many ways. The Beatles started it years ago on one of their cover albums. They showed all the walkway of all religions and said it all leads to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, there is not but one way, and that's Christ's way. And in the future, and when I'm able to break down really what I believe that God has laid on my heart. Some of you already heard the vision that I want. I want to see God do. And I believe God is going to do this. He's burned it in my heart that to see some of these things take place, to really reach within our community, our city. And then this city needs to know that Christ's way is an aid to it, that it provides healing to it. And then as well as to our world. You see, we have a great history here in this city. I grew up as a child walking the streets as a little boy on Dexter Avenue, going into stores that said whites only, coloreds only. And it always baffled me as a little boy. Why? Why was this? There was just something seemed wrong about it. As a child, I would question this. And I watched that change because I stood on the corner of Dexter Avenue, and I don't know if any of you have ever eaten a Chris's hot dog. They'll be glad for the advertisement. But I stood on the corner of my mom one afternoon, not knowing and not realizing. My mom didn't realize, but Dr. King was coming around the back of the street from the Selma March, coming in. I was here to experience that. When I was a little boy, I grew up and I got saved in an old church here, Church of God, years ago on Jackson Street, which is now it's been consumed by the state. Taking it over, but right there down from there was Dr. King's house, his home. And I never forget on a Wednesday night how that the sirens went off, and after it was all over, someone had told us that Dr. King had an attempted assassination on his life. And I was still ride by there, and I could still see the smoke smoldering out of his home and the lights flashing. And I was here to see Rosa Parks when she stepped on that bus. Let me see, this city is full. This city birthed civil rights. It birthed freedom for this nation through the struggle and the fight. But I want to tell you that I believe that Jesus has sent us at Christway to join with other churches within this community, because this is to be a place of spiritual freedom. This is a place to be free from religion. I'm so sick and tired of religion. I'm so sick and tired of my territory and your territory. It's the kingdom of God. It is Christ's way. It is not my way at this church and my way at that church. It is Jesus' way. We're going to demonstrate Jesus' way of doing things. Amen? All right, let's go with the scripture this morning. Look over at somebody and say, I'm ready. Proverbs 16:25. I'm going to be talking this morning on actually our theme of the church. And again, I can't tell you everything this morning about the vision of Christway, but I will tell you this, that what we're going to present is teaching and preaching out of the Word, the instruction manual that tells you you have an ability to find the answer that you're looking for. Mankind in this city, everywhere around, can find the answer, and it's not through many ways, but it's through Jesus' ways, Christ's way. So we're going to talk about living life the Christ way. Now, Proverbs 16:25 from the Voice says, "Before every person lies a road that seems to be right, but at the end of that road, death and destruction wait." There are not many routes. That's man's way. But John 14:6 again says, as it said in the scripture in that video a moment ago, Jesus said, "I am the road, also the truth, also the life." So what are you looking for? Aren't you looking for the right road? Anybody looking for a right road this morning? And that road, what do you say, what road? Well, I want the right road to go to heaven. I want the truth about how to get to heaven. And I also want life. But more than just in the salvation, living life the Christ way is, how many of you right now have a lot of questions about your life? How many of you are looking for some answers in your life? Well, I'm going to show you a very simple scripture that we have preached on, we have read hundreds of times, but have we paused to find out in it is the fullness of life. You see, this video that just shown shows how we have moved today in our minds and our thinking of political and social correctness. No, we don't want to offend anyone. There are no winners and losers any longer. We find today that in school, they're in secular humanism, they're teaching today that when you play a ball game, there nobody loses. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I grew up, there were some games I lost. If I won every game, I have, you know, it's kind of like Alabama. You know, we're so used to winning national championships that Nick Saban has the greatest struggle this year of trying to bring his people understanding that you don't just inherit a national championship. There's work to be accomplished. You yourself must do that work. You see, when I win all the games, then I lose sight and I become egotistical and I come with an expectation that everything is going to go my way. But it's in the losses of the games that I learned how to have character. I learned character. I learned how to pull myself up by the bootstraps and realize failure does not mean it's terminal. But failure says, yes, I fell short of some things and I could have done better. But it is my desire now to press and see my weaknesses and become strong. When I went to the gym the first time, like a few years ago, I mean, it was right now, I'm in shape. Round is a shape. Well, years ago when I was in the gym, when I first go in, you know, when you start lifting weights, you can feel like a failure because when you look around and you see these guys lifting hundreds of pounds and you're lifting 25, you don't even want the girls to see you. But after a while, because I fail in some things and I can't do 3 sets of 10, I might be able to do 2 sets and have to stop. But that doesn't stop me. It challenges me. And we've got to come to this place today in understanding that through our society, we've got to be truthful with them. We can't pat them on the back and send them to hell. We can't overlook their sin. Now, are we going to condemn them in their sin? Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." But you've got to understand you got sin. Confess your sin. Walk away from your sin and improve and walk in the Christ way. Now, Christ's way church is to be a place where people can discover truth and walk and live in their fullest potential. I want to see you fulfill your potential. And by the way, how many knows this is a pretty tall building? Did anybody notice, especially if you came through the front, how far it goes up? Guess what? They didn't start at the top building this building. They started on ground floor. This is the foundation. And from every room is dependent upon this. Look over at somebody and say, "We're the foundation." I hope that you'll make this your place. Now, I know that, you know, you could go a lot of more places and be a lot more comfortable and served a whole lot better in your convenience. That's what a lot of people want, but Christ's way is not going to be that way. Christ's way is going to be in the fact that every person, look over at somebody and say, you got something in you. God gives everybody talents, gifts, and abilities. And God has brought you here so that you can be dug and mined, so that you can bring forth the diamonds and the gold that's within you. God has a gifting for you. We want every person to be involved in doing something. Christ Way Church is going to be a church that everybody puts their hand to the plow, so that when you look back one day from ground floor, you'll say, man, do you remember where we started? If you look and see what God has done. Hello? Hello? So, you know, we might be small today. Stand up, Patrick. He was small one day. I held him in my arms. But he's different now. Amen? So how many of you say, I'm on ground floor? But it's to be a place to where that awakens the sleeping giant within you. And then it will also give hope, because you yourself, now everybody has different giftings. We're not asking you to go and stand on a street corner and preach the gospel. That's not everybody's niche. That's not even my niche. But I will tell you this, whatever is in you, you come to as a body to contribute, to give away. Some have a gift of giving. Some people have a gift of hospitality. Some are going to work great in the home groups, the spotters and all of this. But every person is to put your hand to the plow. It's my purpose. I believe God is driving and saying, wake up my people, pull out the best in them, and as they do, they're going to be able to share with others and cause them to come into their full potential of Christ. Now, we witness every day the frustration on people's faces all around us, as well as even ourselves sometimes, as we go through life's challenges attempting to accomplish some form of achievement of goal in our life. Now, what does that really mean? Well, how many of you want some more secure incomes? How many of you want know that it's you would like to have more than just getting by? You would want a secure future. Some of you want a home that you can call your own. Some want a better job. Some want your families and witness your children and your family to be blessed and walk in the success of God. Some want to be healthy. The list goes on and on of everyday struggles that we look forward to. You know, some may be looking at a career change, and it's a struggle. Some may look and say, you know, I don't know if my job is going to be there tomorrow or not. I don't know what's going on in life, because we're living in a life of insecurity. All of us every day face questions that God has an answer to, but how many would like to know how to find the answer? Well, let's just throw up the book up and maybe it'll hit. No, I want to start out in Christ's way. Now, people are frantically working, chasing, and striving to grasp hold of the answers for the questions in their lives. You see, people are frantically working and chasing, trying to find the answers here. And people need answers in their own battles of failure and their disappointments and discouragement. Sometimes people need to realize they can get over. It's not terminal. Your failure, your disappointments in your own self, the discouragements that come to your life, there is an answer. There's a Christ way for you to overcome. In your marriages, in your homes, in your children, in your careers, whatever it might be, God is interested. Look over somebody and say, God is interested in me. And God is interested in you. And God has an answer right here in your mouth. Okay. Now, Jesus gives us a formula to follow that seems so simple. Yet, because we're human, we overlook in its simplicity and think this: the answers can't come that easily. The answer just can't come that easily. Well, it can. You see, the formula is simple, but we humans make the formula difficult. Now, this formula is difficult because we find we're human, and we've enjoyed doing things our own way since the garden. Right? How many of you want to sing like Elvis or like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. I can't hit that high note that I can, but you wouldn't want to hear it. Elvis. You see, if we can only grasp the truth that Jesus is going to present us in his way of doing things. You see, go with Matthew 6:33 this morning in the Amplified Version. If you can look at the screen if you'd like, we're going to break this down. How many, you say, wow, Matthew 6:33. I have read that a jillion times. Well, I'm glad you have, but let's read it in the Amplified, and we're going to break it down because there's three areas here we want to look at. First of all, how many wants to go Christ's way? This is a demonstration of Christ's way. All right, here he says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. Now, the reason I like the Amplified here is because it gets the closest to the connotation of the lexicon in the Scripture to give you the real wording of what it means. See, seek means to aim at and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Somebody say his way of doing. How many of you like to do it your way? How many have done it your way? But he says, doing it his way. What way? Christ's way. Okay? And then all the, I like the word then. And then, all these things taken together will be given you besides. Now, in the King James, it says it like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many know that we need things in our life? We need stuff. We need health. We need wealth. We need peace in the home sometimes. We need help in our marriages. Run the gamut again of all the things that we need. We're a needy people, right? But how do we get these answers solved? Well, he just gave it to us. Now, see, Jesus is speaking about our daily grind with the cares of life and what comes to us and how we're to walk successfully and reach our desired goals. Now, the word here is seek. Seek, aim at, and strive after is, of course, naturally to seek something. When we talk about seeking, it's usually something we don't possess. How many of you have been seeking wealth? Have you possessed it yet? Depends on your definition of wealth. $100 don't get you very far. You can't even hardly get a tank of gas for that. So my wealth has got to be a little higher than that. But whatever you're seeking is something that you're searching for, you don't have grasp to. So Jesus says, seek, aim at, strive for. We got to first of all seek, and that word seek is zetio, which means a single-minded focus when one's eye is single or clear. In other words, you've got to put your focus on one thing. Now, if you're seeking for finance, you can't be focusing on something else. You got to be focusing on how this is going to take place. You got to figure out, you got to start focusing on, I don't have it, but how do I get it? You start to have some answers now, but you have to seek it. You have to come into a focus. You can't just, like a moment ago saying tithing, you can't just put the tithes in the bucket and walk away without actually believing, seeking for something you don't have. You sow into something believing for the reaping part, right? Now, so we seek. Answers to life's questions is to seek and singly focus and aim and strive at what is missing. So whatever's missing in my life, Christ's way says, seek first. Seek him. That's the beginning, is seeking. How many are just sitting around waiting on it to happen? Well, honey, it ain't going to happen. I seek for education, but I watch the bus go by every day. It isn't going to happen. God's not going to drop in your head how to read and write and be able to take math and history. You go to school. So you seek, you begin to seek, and then you find a way, you start finding a way to it. When you start seeking, doors begin to open. God is saying you must seek first. Are you seeking? You see, the part that is missing in our life is not the things that we're seeking. The part that's missing is the way to the things that are missing. Now, did you get that? Too many times we're seeking the things. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom. You see, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but too many times we're seeking the thing rather than seeking the part that's missing that brings the thing. And the part that is ever going to fill your and my life is Christ. It's going to be Jesus. Pinch somebody and tell them, say amen. Amen. Now, how many of you are like me? We all seek things and we get our priorities out of place. We tend to try it our way and consult God last. Our priorities get shifted and we get caught up busying ourselves with the details of how to fix things rather than follow Jesus' formula. We try to work it out. We try to make it happen rather than letting God get involved and let it happen. I have found out over a period of time, the more I get involved, the longer it takes for me to get there. Now, what do you mean more involved? When I start taking control of things, when I try to make things happen, they don't. But when I go Christ's way, you see, are we really to consult God about some of these? Yes. My marriage? Yes. My finances? Yes. Everything that I have, I am to consult God because God is interested. If he wasn't, he would have never worked out a plan of tithing and giving so that we could become blessed. He would have never worked out a way of salvation if we couldn't be saved. But he worked out all these things. He's interested in every avenue of your life. Look over somebody and say, God is interested in what you need right now. The thing is, we're too busy trying to fill it our way rather than Christ's way. We must seek him. Singly focus on him. Now stay with me. How many remember the story of Mary and Martha? In Luke 10, Jesus shows up there at their house, and here's Martha. She says she was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Now hold on that word, distracted. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But Jesus said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset and distracted over all these details. There's only one thing, Jesus said, there's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, Martha was so caught up into trying to get things in order and do it her way, have everything in place. And Mary said, no, I'm going to sit over here and I'm going to get the answer. And Martha comes back and said, now, Lord, you know, don't you think she needs to be helped? And he said, no, she's getting the best thing. And guess what? It's not just for today. It's going to last for a permanency in her life. How many want something that'll last? You know, you might even find a temporary solution to something, but it won't last without Christ. Now, everyday life brings us anxiety, fear, and worry, doesn't it? How many has ever been worried? In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says in that same chapter, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. How many is worried about your life? We're worried about what's going on. Now, I don't have a thing to worry about. I jumped off the cliff the other day. I left a great salary. I don't get a salary right now unless you give. Amen? My wife informed me the other day, says, I don't make enough. Well, we knew that. But you know what? Have I worried? Have I ever woken up in the middle of the night? Yeah. I've even heard voices 3 o'clock in the morning. You're stupid. What you gonna do now? No, it wasn't my wife. But listen, have you ever done some things that all of a sudden you become concerned, you're worried about what's going on in your life?
There's a devil out there to try to, especially when you start taking a leap of faith, have I done the right thing or have I done a stupid thing? But the thing is who are you chasing after? Christ's way or my way? If everything was easy to get from God, there would be no stories in the Bible. There's always a lion. There's always fire. There's a Red Sea. There's a storm to walk on. There's a demoniac running down from Gadara. There's people that are starving. There's people that are dead. There's always something out there. But there would be no story in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, anything that God has for you to go after, it takes a leap of faith. Believe me, I didn't want to leap. I said, God, do you know how old I am? God, you know what? I've been around this circle for. Some of you folks have been with us when we started in Selma, Alabama, years ago. And we started with like 6 or 8 people. I thank God today for you. This gentleman back here played drums with curtain rods. The first Sunday, couldn't even afford drumsticks. But God blessed the church, and it grew, and God blessed. But what I'm trying to say is that so many times we prohibit the very thing that God is trying to get us because we're trying to do it our way, and we're not seeking Him first. And we're not putting ourselves out there so that we can see a Red Sea open. We're not putting ourselves out there that we can see a lion's mouth closed. We're not putting ourselves out there that we can walk in the fire and we can come back out as a testimony. But to have a testimony, you got to walk through hell sometimes. And you got to walk out by faith when there's nothing there. But I'm choosing to walk Christ's way where it says to seek Him first. And at the end, I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to see the miracle of God. Oh, but I lean here. This is where faith is. You can tell me you have faith all day. You can tell me you can trust God all day. But in Matthew 6:33, it says that's where faith is real. That's where trust in God is real. That's where you look at God when you can't feel it. That's where you look at God when tomorrow morning and Monday morning when I start going the next week and the devil says, you're not going to make it. All I can say is, I told my son the other day, my retreat area is getting in the prayer chamber with God. When I get in there with God, I can talk to Him and He walks with me and He talks with me and He says, son, I'm with you. I'll walk with you and I'm going to send a people that'll walk with you. They hunger and thirst after Christ's way. Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Matthew 6:32 says only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Anxiety is always care about the future. Tomorrow. What's tomorrow? In Matthew 6:34, the scripture right below 33 says, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Now that word worry means to divide. How many knows worry divides you? And it says to draw different directions. Worry will pull you apart. And that word comes back up, distraction. You know what Martha had was distraction. Let me tell you, you'll get so distracted. Worry. You see, the thing is, if it wasn't coming to us, He would have never addressed it. Some of us think it's a sin to worry. Well, it is if we don't follow the prescribed answer that we do. No. Worry is going to come around. I'm going to tell you, I am just as transparent with you today to let you know, yes, I have worried. I've been scared. I told God sometimes in the shower, God, I'm scared to death. And God wasn't afraid of me telling Him that. But I said this, God, I know one thing. I've got to do what Your word is. You see, I've been preaching this to me before You've gotten it. And that is to walk Christ's way. It is a step and it is a walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. But to be able to see the vision that God has for this city and this world, it has to start at the ground roots of faith and confidence and seeking clearly what God has. If it was all handed on a silver platter, it wouldn't be much. But whenever you know that you're at the depth of the root and understanding that God lived, died, sink, or swim, it's only by Your grace will we make it. I throw myself out on the emptiness of Your faith out there to be suspended and believe only You, God, can do it. And that's what has to be in everyone's life. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But we must invite God. To see the miracle, we must invite God. And actually, the trouble that's there, that's before us, the question in our life, whether it be our finances or whatever it might be, the question that's before you is, am I gonna face it God's way, or am I going to face it my way? You see, anxiety is worriers. That's when worriers are consumed by fear, which makes it difficult to trust God. And Jesus said there's always going to be something tomorrow. There's always troubles out there. Job declares that. Man's days are short and full of troubles. But you see, every day that comes, there's adversity. There's risk. There's anxiousness. And tomorrow there will be anxious. And Jesus says, don't worry. Just deal with today. Let me take care of tomorrow. So many of us are living in tomorrow. And we're not living in today. Now, have you got your worry beads with you? How many knows what worry beads are? There are actually things called worry beads. Worry beads are what they call fidget beads. It's called comboli, which is made up of a large group of knots in a string. And actually, they put beads on there. Later, they call them worry beads. And when you got to worrying, you would rub the beads. And that was to help relieve the nervous tension in you. How many has ever had one little ball that? That's just an update of the worry bead. But they would go around and in Greece, they would rub the worry beads. Because the worry beads were supposed to be able to, as you fidgeted with them, they were supposed to relieve nervous tension. Well, let me put it this way. Jesus' powerful word in Matthew 6:25 says, and Matthew 6:23 says this, if you will take my word and fidget my word, if you finger my word, you will find peace. Now, Jesus is saying, when you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek your way, you will not find peace. You see, the average person's worry and anxiety focuses on these. 40% of the things that will never happen, we worry about. 30% of the things are about the past that we can't change. 12% of the things are about criticism by others, mostly untrue. And 10% is about our health, which gets worse while we stress. Really, only about 8% of our problems are really real. 92% of the time we're worrying more with all these things. Now, no man ever sank under the burden of today. But George MacDonald says this, it is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than we can bear. Never load yourself so. We're trying to carry tomorrow's burden today, and it's too heavy. You see, it is not work, but worry that makes us weary, as Dan Milliken says. So what do? Don't borrow trouble. Can I borrow a cup of trouble? Can I borrow some trouble? No, you don't borrow trouble. What does it mean? You're out there. Believe me. You know, I've been out there. How many has ever lived in the what-if land? Like, you know, you get here, son, you say, what if nobody shows up? Right? What if I've done the wrong thing? What if I've done this? How many has lived in what-if? But you see, you're borrowing on something that's not paying dividends back to your life, but you're spending on something that you're not getting back. Worry makes you spend yourself, expend your energy, your spiritual faith on things that result in zero. So put your faith in the confidence of God. Take a zero balance and look that you can only go one way. Amen? Somebody say, look over my checkbook, you'll see my zero balance. But you can only go one way. I want to ask you something this morning. Well, you see, we're so frozen with fear or what might happen down the road, it stops us in our progress today. If God could create the world in 7 days, He can surely handle our problems.
And by the way, how many of you this morning worried where the sun was going to come up or not? You know why it came up? It had to come up because God gave it orders thousands of years ago. And it has been operating all these thousands of years because God said, let there be light. And it comes up. It's amazing how that you right now can go on your phone or your weather app and it says the sun will rise at a certain time. It'll set certain time. Tomorrow it's going to be a little longer day. How can they be so predictable? Because God said it. He said it and set it. And it can't change until he sets it again. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So Matthew 6:33 is for you and I. Now, I didn't worry if the sun came up this morning because I know who controls it. One of the best ways to avoid dealing with today's challenges and difficulties is to get wrapped up in tomorrow. You don't deal with today. And Jesus says, you got enough things to deal with today without worrying about tomorrow. Handle them today. Are you going to be victorious today? It seems easier to worry about what might not happen in the future than to deal with what's happening in the present. We're avoiding. Worry causes us to avoid and actually try to put off. And when we're doing that, it's actually putting off our answer. It's delaying our answer. You see, tomorrow requires work and trust. And worrying immobilizes us today and reveals a lack of trust in God's ability to hold tomorrow and preserve us. How many knows that God's already in tomorrow? You know, it's hard for me to imagine, but to realize that all these years, God was so far ahead, he knew that we would be at the Embassy Suites today in 2013. I never dreamt that we would be here, but God did. Now, if he had told me and showed me, I would have probably worried my way all the way. But he didn't, because today is sufficient. Now, don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God. Worry about the future and material things is pointless because God gives us one day at a time. You take care of today and God will take care of tomorrow. Now, we got to trust God with whatever we have for the need today. Matthew 6:32 says, your Father in heaven knows that you have need of all these things. God, don't you know I like to eat, right? I like to go home to a house. Jesus says, I know every need, and he will supply my need. You see, when we worry about tomorrow, we misuse the strength God has provided for us today. We're spending the strength today trying to fight something tomorrow when God said, I gave you strength for today. You see, we need to take this one day at a time relationship. Three words we need to remember to overcome fear. First, by putting God first. The Father, he knows and he cares for us and he has already made provision. And faith, trusting God that he will meet our needs. Now, I love this little saying, leave tomorrow's trouble to tomorrow's strength. Tomorrow's work to tomorrow's time. Tomorrow's trial to tomorrow's grace and to tomorrow's God. You see, Jesus is telling us that the antidote to worrying is to make a daily choice to prioritize God's kingdom and righteousness. We got to make it a habit of prioritizing seeking God's kingdom. Seek, aim for, strive, focus, first of all. And then he says, seek and aim and strive after what? What am I supposed to seek after? First, his kingdom and his righteousness. Wow. His way of doing things right. His way of doing and being right. So to find the answer to my life is to first seek him and what his kingdom and his righteousness says and do the way that Jesus tells me to do to get the answer. In other words, obedience to the word. How many remember the prophet that in the Old Testament just told Naaman to go down and to dip in the water seven times, right? Remember that? He said, well, we've got cleaner rivers over here. Why do we have to go down this old muddy river? And he said, if you'll follow Christ's way, his way of doing, you'll get an answer.
You see, here's the thing. We seek God usually after we've made a mess of things. We prioritize it. If I can't get it worked out, I'll go to God. But I'm telling you, whatever you're facing in your life at this very moment, and what we need to learn and what we need to teach others as they come into the kingdom, what Christway Church is about is follow the instructions of the Word and you will get your answer. Seek, prioritize God first, His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing. What is Jesus' way of doing? Now, let me ask you this. When someone has done you wrong, what do we want to do? We seek first our way. We want to lay hands on them without prayer, without ceasing, deep, wide, and consistently. We want to talk about them. We want to do everything we can to hurt them. We want them to pay for it. That's our way. But guess what? It don't work. It only ends up hurting you. But if I seek first, if I seek and strive after, now what does Jesus say about this? What's the Christ way? Well, in His righteousness, I first prioritize whatever His will is, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it my way, I'm going to do it His way. And that's what it says. Whenever you begin to seek, God will begin to give you answers in His Word, but then it's up to you to follow the instructions. It's not enough to get the instruction. I put many a toy together on Christmas and have spare parts because I didn't read the instruction. But it's not enough to get the instructions either and then still not follow them. I can read the instructions, but if I don't go by the instructions, it's not going to come out to the resolution that I'm looking for. So if the Word tells me to forgive and to pray for them and to keep my mouth shut and to love them and to lift them up, that goes against my way of doing. Are you getting this? We've got to teach the Christ way, because too many times we've been doing it other routes, other ways. And that's why most churches become very stalemated, is because the fact is we're not doing it the way Jesus teaches. You know, so many times we come to church, we may hear the Word, but then we say, well, I heard it, but I ain't practicing it. Well, I'm telling you, we got to do it Christ's way. So if Jesus tells me I've got to love those old scoundrels, I've got to love those people that have hurt me, I've got to pray for them, bless those that despitefully use me, that's seeking His kingdom. You see, that's one thing the disciples were really struggling when they first came to Him, because they were learning a whole new theology. They couldn't understand. Bless those that curse you. It was an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth at that time. Amen? But seeking His way of doing things. So seeking the former, our way, brings anxiousness and worry. But seeking the latter, His Word, brings us peace and tranquility. Jesus gives us the key to open the doors to freedom and worry and anxiety by making a conscious and a volitional choice every day of our lives, so that when we prioritize God in our life, we will get the right answers. How many wants to succeed? To succeed is to follow the prescription that Jesus has given. His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing, submitting Himself. And then He says, all. I like this. And then, all these things shall be added to you. What I have to do is come to the place of trusting the things that I want are in His hands. But trying to manipulate Him, trying to back God in a corner to give them to me, is not going to happen. I've got a little grandchild. He's great in manipulation right now. When he gets in trouble, if he sees somebody, oh, so-and-so, yeah, he takes you off the total, off the subject. Where are you going? He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what it is. You can see manipulation working. You know, he gets in trouble. First thing he does, he starts kissing mom and daddy or kissing his. I'm going to be funny. You know, you're going to forget about me being bad. You know, it's manipulation. See, that's what we do with God. But you know what? God knows. He's on to us. And we're wondering why we're not getting answers to our prayers is because we're not going His way. We're not doing what He says. But when we do what He says, we seek Him, and then when we seek Him, we find the answer and do it His way, then shall these things be added unto you. You see, without exception, all these things that we need to this life is for the glory of God. God does not want to withhold any good thing from us. In fact, Psalms 84, 11, and 12 says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. So what are you saying? All these things. What do you mean? God doesn't get glory in your sickness. God doesn't get glory in your sorrow. God doesn't get glory in your broken marriage. God doesn't get glory in your poverty. God is not a sadistic God that enjoys watching you suffer. But you're walking life, and you're facing this thing with faith. But doing His will bring you to a fruition, a blessing. God does glory in you succeeding and being your supply, and that your every need is fulfilled in your life. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, He says. And it's not just physical needs. It's our spiritual needs. How many of you even need victory from your temper? Sometimes we just don't tell the truth. Well, He says, I'll add these things to you. Add to you. God loves to add, not subtract. Satan is in subtraction. Satan is in division. But God is in addition and multiplication. Look over somebody and say, God's on your side. I don't care what the devil says. Look over at someone and say, the answer is in your obedience. In His way of doing. This is where we walk in the full realm of faith. You see, God giving God our very best to Him and His servants warrants God giving the best to us. How many of you have sat down and you've seen there's only one role left. And you could lay hands on it and say, do you want this role? No, I don't want it now. Or would you offer it to someone else? You see, when we seek God and when we adhere to what He has given us, we are satisfying Him. Because we are not trusting and relying upon self. We're trusting and relying in the faith. We're putting our faith in what He says. Daniel put his faith in what God said. Moses put his faith in what God said. Every person that you see God working through their life, they had to come to a place of doing His way. F.W. Grant says, care for what belongs to God and suits Him, and He'll care for you. Please God, and God will please you. And all these things shall be added to you. Too many times we're telling God what we want, but we're not listening to God how to get it. Prioritization. I don't have time to read all this, but the life of Solomon sums up this. In 1 Kings 3, if you'll read it for verses 4 through 13, it would help us to understand. When Solomon was taking over kingship from his father David, the Lord came and He says, what do you want? Ask me. Woo, I would love for Jesus to ask me, what do you want? Would you like God to ask you that? Could you give God the proper answer? Notice Solomon's answer. He says, God, I'm ignorant of a lot of things. I don't know how to lead a people. So he says, I want you to give me wisdom. How that I may lead your people in the ways of God. Well, God comes back and says this, because you have asked for this and haven't grasped after a long life of long life or riches or doomed your enemies, but you've asked for ability to lead and govern well, I'll give you what you asked for. I'm giving you a wiser and mature heart that's never been one like before nor one after. But as a bonus, I'm giving you both wealth and glory you didn't ask for. There's not a king anywhere who will come up to your mark. What does he say? Because you sought me first, and you sought what was really important, you sought my way of thinking, you're going to need wisdom. Solomon said, you know, he could have said, I want all the riches of the world. I want all my enemies killed. I want all this. I want this. I want this. I want this. And God said, I'll give it to you. And he would have given it to him because God is a God of truth. But because he sought first after the kingdom of God, he sought to take care of God's kingdom. God said, now, because of what you've done and you didn't seek after things for yourself personally, I will add all these things to you.
You see, we're spending our time so much asking God for the things we want. And they're not necessarily wrong, but the thing is, we don't seek what God wants. And when we seek what God wants and go His way of doing things, all of a sudden we look around and the things that we've been asking for are there. Because we have satisfied Him. We've gone the Christ way. Now, I'm closing here. God never withholds answers we desire in our lives. He doesn't withhold any good thing from us. So who does? The devil. Right? The devil holds it back? Well, I think it's a partnership. It's you and the devil, or me and the devil. We hold it back because we don't seek Christ's way. In fact, let me tell you something. There's been times where I knew Christ's way and I didn't want to seek His way because I knew His way and His way didn't agree with my way. I want to hold that grudge. I want to be mad for a while. I like it. And God says, sure, but you're putting delay on it. But then I figure out I've got to do it Christ's way for me to have liberation. We can release everything that we have into God's hands. And we can start living life the Christ way. We can be another church on the block. Come have great services. Make everybody happy temporarily. Or we can choose to be the disciples Jesus called us to be in these last days. And walk and live in a faith that will bring miracles, signs and wonders. God is not out of the business of miracles and signs and wonders. The thing is we've just taken over to where we don't feel like we need God any longer. We go through our routine, but yet, you know what? So many people go to church every Sunday dragging to get back to try to get an encouraging word. It's kind of like a leaky tire. Isn't it annoying? You know, I had something to puncture my tire the other day. And if I let it long enough, it would just leak. But you know what? As long as there's a place I can get air. I run down there every other day and put air in it, put air in it, put air in it, put air in it. Or I could do it the right way, take it to the dealer, tire dealer. He will plug that thing to where I don't have to continuously keep pumping it up. And you see, church has become today, I can talk about it because I've been in the ministry for over 30 years. Jesus is not here to keep the Christian pumped up. You're supposed to be leak-proof, full of hot air. You're supposed to be filled and full. The Word tells us that the Holy Spirit, He says He's filling and continually filling, which means that every day with Him, I stay pumped up. I stay full of Him. And too many times, church has become a place of creation for the normal member to come to church, get uplifted, go back out to the world, and start running low. And then have to come back and we have to spend time filling up the saint so they can go out and leak again. But God is saying, I'm coming soon. And I'm calling a people to learn to do it my way. And by doing it my way, you'll be filled every day. You'll come into the house of God with a glow and the glory of God on you because you've walked with God 6 other days rather than just one. That you'll carry the blessing of the Lord. In fact, that's why that it'll be easy to hand out a card is because I want you to come and find out how I got this, how I'm living in this. God wants you and I to succeed. He wants to grant the desires of our heart. He does. But it's got to be His way. Nevertheless, we need to go to the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'll do the Father's will. Jesus said, I'm going to do His way of doing. And by doing it, it's going to be painful and it's going to be tough. But oh, the rewards at the end. All this is going to be. I'm so glad Jesus didn't give up on us. Amen. Christ Way City Church is to be a church here to serve our city and a beacon light to know that you can live a stable, strong Christian life and give away your faith to others rather than to try to get just a few saints to heaven. because Jesus wants a mouthpiece out there that will reach people and teach them the ways of Christ. By first of all letting them know that there is only one way, and that is through Jesus. You don't go through many avenues. And then in your marriage, what does the word tell us? I'm going to seek God. They got to change. So if we do His way of doing, all of a sudden, peace begins to come in the marriage. Marriage begins to come and become greater. Relationships between children and parent become better because we do it Christ way. We're here to find the purpose of God in our life, reaching our fullest potential. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to join with me around the front this morning. If you would, just come and stand over across the front.
Thanks so much for listening today. For more information about Christway City Church or Pastor Gary Dobson, you can visit ChristwayCity.com. Be sure to sign up for our e-blast online so that you can stay in the know as to what's happening at Christway City Church.